Thanks for being with us, everyone. We're talking about UFO cases of 2009 with Mark Easter and Chuck Reaver from MUFON. Mark, I want to put this question to you before we open up the phone lines and find out what's on the minds of our listeners. The argument has often been made that there is a link between media attention, movies, books, things of that sort, and UFO cases and reports by the public. This year, 2009, seems to have been a down year in terms of dramatic UFO cases, as we've been discussing. There were plenty of cases that you guys are investigating, but not as many big cases as maybe in previous years. And yet the level of media attention has been very high. Larry King shows, the James Fox documentary, the UFO Hunters program, at least entertainment media, if not news media, have paid all kinds of attention to this. And yet there doesn't seem to be that alleged correlation that the debunkers often raise. If you put it on television, people will suddenly see UFOs in the sky. Any comment on that?
Well, it's par for the course, and you said basically the magic word, and it's entertainment. When it boils down to it, it's putting people in the seats to be able to either pay their money to see a movie or to sit and watch documentaries on television. There's commercials that are placed around these documentaries, and that's what it amounts to. And what in the past, it was difficult for networks to want to explore the UFO phenomenon. And just recently, that's starting to change, because what it amounts to is they're realizing that those people that buy soap and buy cars and are watching these UFO documentaries, they want the information. And when you have that many people, a mass of people that, you know, are tired of, quote, being lied to, I think they're starting to sway, because I'm in the broadcast business, and so I see it from the backside as well as the front side, and I genuinely see their minds changing. In other words, the producers at the top are going, well, maybe we should take a little more serious attitude towards our presentation of this, because there's too many people out there that are the viewers that we want to capture. We want them watching our station. We don't want them watching that station over there. You know, it's competitive. You understand what Sweeps Week is.
Well, I do, and I would like to agree with you to an extent, but it seems like most of the attention, and there's a lot of it, you can't hardly turn on the TV without seeing a UFO show of one sort or another, but most of it is in the entertainment medium, and it's still hard to get mainstream news organizations, with some exceptions, like your guy in Reno there, who will do a straightforward news investigation or report on this stuff.
It's incredibly hard, but we got to draw a line between the entertainment side and the news side. So,
well,
you know,
sure.
But as far as let's go back to Sweeps Week, and that's interesting, and I just watch it as it happens every year. But basically, news organizations, and you work for one, you have to keep a level playing field, the journalistic side. You present both sides to it, and it's hard to present the UFO phenomenon because it's so deep. It is difficult to do. You can't just do it in 1 4-minute story. But what it amounts to is, and this is the telltale thing, is that when Sweeps Week comes around and Sweeps Month, all of a sudden news organizations are interested in the UFO phenomenon, and it's because they finally have that time frame where they can go out and do investigative stories on the UFO phenomenon during sweeps, because they know that mass of people want to know this information, and they will watch that station. But once sweeps are over, they go back into hibernation mode. It's a shame that it's like that, but it is. I mean, turn the table and ask you, George. I mean, you know, you've got the brass that you answer to where you work, your daily job. How do they react on a daily basis? Or, you know, are you kept on a leash, basically, when it, you know, forgive me for putting you on the spot and asking you, but But answer that for me and for the public. I mean, you know, because you're a prime example of that, of what we're talking about. Do they keep you on a leash, so to speak, until...
No, I would have to say that I'm an exception in that, but it's only... I'm unique in that regard, only because I've been here a long time and have done so many other kinds of stories. I have free rein. I mean, they don't want me to do a UFO story every week or every month, and I don't. I just pick ones as they come along, whether it sweeps or not. I can tell you this, though, in dealing with network people who occasionally have dived into this discussion, people like at 48 Hours and programs like that, legitimate mainstream news guys, they'll do it, but they hate it. And they'll do it for the rating spike that always comes with it. But they realize or they surmise that it is not something that's going to help their careers. And as soon as it's done, they want to wash their hands of it.
Well, exactly. The key is that, and I said it and I'll say it again, you can't just scratch the surface to be able to present something during sweeps.
Well, we're in agreement there, and plus there's the crazy factor, and there's a lot of craziness in this field.
Of course, and there always will be, but you have to see through that, and you have to be persistent, and that's where folks like us at MUFON, that's where we come in, and because we understand that. But the key is to answer what we're talking about as far, and I don't hold, you know, journalists at fault, because it's true. You really have to delve deep into the quote, the UFO phenomenon, to really understand that there is something to this, and they're just not allowed to do that.
Well, I agree, because they've got a story to do every day, most TV news guys anyway, and it's a steep learning curve, and unless you want to put your own time into it, it's pretty tough to get a handle on it.
Exactly.
Need to take a break. We need to take a break here. When we come back, I have one other question for Chuck about exopolitics and disclosure, and then we open the phones and see what our listeners have on their minds. Stay with us here on Coast to Coast AM. We're talking with Mark Easter and Chuck Reaver of MUFON about UFO cases of 2009. I want to touch on something that's not a case. It's more of a development, and that's the exopolitics movement, the disclosure movement. Chuck, as an investigative guy, I wonder if this creates problems for you. People who are pressuring, say, Congress to hold hearings, trying to hold their feet to the fire, realizing that any congressman that calls for this kind of a hearing would be possibly committing political suicide because of all the other stuff that comes attached to the UFO field, the crazy stuff. Any thoughts on that?
Well, yes. Just take a look at what happened to Kucinich when he was running for president here a couple years ago. People made fun of him because he said, I forget the whole story, but he was involved with a UFO somehow. In my opinion, I'm probably one of the few, I don't believe the government will ever actually come out and say, this is what's going on. I think every government in the world can disclose whatever they want. But until the United States actually does that, it's not going to mean a lot. And if and when that happens, the debunkers, the naysayers, and so on will say, oh, we knew that all along. We were just going along with it. So I just, I'm pessimistic from that standpoint. I think that any congressman, any person in politics that gets involved in it has a rough road.
And I think about, I agree with you, and I think about a congressional hearing, which, you know, they had them previously back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure what they could accomplish. As Mark was mentioning, there is a steep learning curve. Unless you're going to spend a couple of months on it, which is highly unlikely,
yes,
what would it accomplish?
I don't think it would accomplish anything. And I think there's so many other things going on in the world today. All you have to do is look around you that I think what's going on now, we're not getting very much play on it.
Yeah, well, healthcare and the economy and yeah, people out of work, and you think the president's going to come out and embrace this? Highly unlikely. Going to the phones, east of the Rockies, Chris in North Carolina. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how are you?
Okay.
It's kind of late, man. I've seen these flying triangles flying around Camp McCall in Fayetteville, North Carolina since 93. I contacted Aviation Week one time, and he told me it was a stealth helicopter. So,
a triangular helicopter?
So I've been interested in UFOs my entire life, and I finally got a close-up view of one night. It was probably the length of a C-17, and it was just a triangle, not making any noise. It flew probably about 500 feet altitude. Flew over my head, didn't make any noise. I saw the lights underneath it, and I think it's military. I think it's Pentagon-related. But they've been flying them around here a long time.
Fayetteville. Where do you live in North Carolina?
I live in Southern Pines now, but I used to live in Fayetteville. One night I was driving through Camp McCall. I was going to work. I was coming back from work, and I saw three of them just right next to each other above the field, above the field, probably about 100 feet above the ground, and they were just sitting next to each other, not making any noise at night. And then one turned off, and they all took off and flew away from me, and they didn't make any noise.
I guess, Chuck, any comments on any information you might have indicating that our military has something like a gigantic floating triangle?
There have been reports. I know there was one, I believe, off Catalina Island where a fisherman had a huge triangle-shaped thing above him, and he heard English language coming from it. And I think one of the things we have to keep in mind is that the government is probably 50 to 70 years ahead of anything we can think of. Take a look at the SR-71 and so on. That was developed in 1956. What was it, Kelly Johnson, who ran the Skunk Works, said, we can now go to the stars, and we have things that George Lucas would be envious of.
Yeah, Ben Rich.
Are you still there?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I was going to mention. I think they use them for reconnaissance and special operations troops. They bring the special operations wherever throughout the planet, and they use it because the main characteristic of it is it's very stealthy.
Well, that's a good guess, good as any. Thanks, Chris. I suppose it's possible that we could have big black triangles, but not all of the ones that are being seen in the sky are necessarily ours.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's no way really to tell the difference, since one of the things we're trying to find out.
All right. West of the Rockies, Christine in Arizona. Hi, Christine.
Hi. Chuck in
Mark.
Mark, this is your Arizona State Director.
Chris, how are
Hi,
you?
Hi, Christine. How are you?
How are you? I just wanted to comment on the Fallon case, if I could.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. And one of the important aspects of that case, talking about military involvement, is one of the people involved in that case made a call to the Fallon Naval Air Station security the night of the incident, and security admitted that they had, quote, three C-130s on radar and one, quote, unquote, unspecified aircraft incident. And so I made a call the next day to the public affairs duty officer, and he confirmed that. I mean, he said, yes, we did have an unspecified aircraft incident, and I asked him, what is an unspecified aircraft incident? I wanted to pin him down to see what he would say for sure what this was. And he said, well, you'll have to, excuse me, talk to Lieutenant Commander so-and-so at Air Traffic Control. Excuse me. So I made the call to this lieutenant commander, and it took him 2 weeks to get back to me. And finally he called, and he said, well, we had one C-130 from our base, and what is an unspecified aircraft incident? And I said, well, it's your base, you tell me, because it had already been admitted by his personnel. And that was the most collaboration I've ever gotten from any military base when I called for information.
Did he answer your question?
No, of course not. He never called me back after that. But the fact is that the military, I believe, has replaced the term UFO with unspecified aircraft or unspecified aircraft incidents.
It certainly sounds less mysterious.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to add my 2 cents in there. So,
thanks, Christine.
I'll listen then. Thank you.
Thanks, Christine. Any comment, Mark or Chuck?
I'll say Christine did a fantastic job. That was a STAR team deployment, and actually one of the first. And she was very thorough in doing on that. So I just want to personally thank her for the diligence that she did on that report.
That's amazing that she was able to get even that much unspecified. Why wouldn't they just lie to her and tell her, no, you're mistaken?
Well, and that is a catchphrase that needs to be looked at in the future, that it's probably will come up again. So that I'm glad that she did bring that up.
What about this possibility, holographs? I mean, you know, these things a lot of times are seen floating around up there, huge objects that that should appear on radar that don't. I mean, I don't know what the use for holographs would be, except for to maybe cause confusion. Chuck, any information on that?
I know that there was some type of program many years ago. I haven't kept up on it because it's really not part of the UFO thing that I do, that they felt that the government could project holographic images, perhaps hitting the ionosphere or whatever, or parts of the atmosphere, which would have, and I don't want to get into conspiracy theories here, but which could have a controlling effect on populations. I don't know whether HARP has anything to do with that. It's kind of out of the realm of my responsibility.
Well, I don't know. You don't have to be a conspiracy guy to see the potential for that. I mean, that could confuse an enemy and might have military applications.
Yes, it could.
Mark, I looked on the MUFON site. It looks like you do get a heck of a lot of these triangle reports, even recent.
We do, and regretfully, there's still not enough physical evidence, in other words, photograph or video, to be able to really nail it down. There was a great case I was just reviewing here this afternoon from Kansas here recently, where a group of teenagers sitting next to a pond in the early evening saw a, quote, triangular object with multiple interesting enough orange lights on the bottom that filled the bottom of the craft. And one of the young ladies was able to, with her cell phone, take a picture of it. And by cross-checking with other reports, it was found that on that same night, and this is multiple witness in different locations, a police officer, anonymous, also reported that he had seen something, and he took a photograph also which matched exactly. And we're talking from the same town, mm-hmm. in Kansas, matched exactly. So at the same time, in different locations, two different people were able to take a picture. And if you look at the two pictures side by side, they're exact. That you can't. There's no way that it would be two different crafts. So in the same time frame, two different parts of town, two different people took pictures of this triangular craft, whatever it is. And Mark Easter doesn't know what it is. It is unidentified until it can be identified.
I'm sorry, Mark. That's another thing. In our investigations, we never say something is alien. We have no way of proving that.
Exactly.
What we do is we say something is unidentified. We know statistically that about 71% of everything we get, if we had enough information, would be identified. There's another maybe 25 or 30% or a portion of that, and it's only a guess, and we have guessed maybe 5 to 8% are alien. The rest we just simply don't know about.
Alien in the classic definition of the word, meaning we don't know what the heck. All right. We're going to take another break. We'll come back with more of your questions for our guests, Mark Easter, Chuck Reaver of MUFON. Stay with us on Coast to Coast AM. We're talking with Mark Easter and Chuck Reaver of MUFON about UFO cases and issues from the last year. And when we come back, we'll get to as many of your calls as we can. This is the one and only Coast to Coast AM. Our final segment with Mark Easter and Chuck Reaver of MUFON, talking about UFO cases and issues of 2009. A lot of people on the phones. We're going to our first-time caller line, Rose in Mississippi. Hi, Rose.
Hi. This happened about 1995 in California. Me and my husband and my daughter were telling some friends goodbye outside. It was in the summer. And a great big UFO was sitting just right on the edge of the top of our house. And we had this long house, and it was bigger and longer than our house. And we could all see it so plainly. It was just right on the, down on top of the roof almost.
And did anybody grab a camera?
No, we didn't draw any attention to it, and for some reason we didn't talk about it for a couple of years.
But we didn't tell anybody
because they don't believe you.
You didn't even talk to each other about it? Hey, did you see that?
No, not for a couple of years, and then we all talked about it, and all of us have seen it.
Chuck, is that common? Do you hear that kind of report?
That's very interesting. Many people just block it out of their mind. If she still has that information, we encourage her to go on MUFON.com and report it.
Even something that far back in the past?
Oh yes, absolutely. Goes into our database. Over a period of time, we'll figure a lot of this out.
Hey Rose, we have links on the Coast to Coast site. Send them some information. I'm sure they would appreciate it. Wildcard line, Terry in Cerritos, California. Good morning, Terry.
Yes, thank you for having me on.
Sure.
Nice touch with Robin Trower, by the way.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention that I don't want to impugn anybody's religious convictions, but one of the problems that I think anybody that does this kind of research runs into, and I thought you probably won't doubt it, is people who will take as gospel, no pun intended, a story where a guy, could walk on water, could feed the multitudes, died, raised from the dead, with a hole in his side, flew up into the air, was on the road to Damascus. People will take that, or in the Islam, the guy fell into a well in the 12th century and they're still waiting for him to come out. We'll believe that faithfully. But we'll turn around and not. And there's some evidence that there's been UFOs. They won't, and they'll poo-poo that idea. And I think the reason is because if there's ever proved that aliens were coming here, it would completely blow away their whole standard of religious thinking, and it also would have an economic impact on a lot of people's jobs and the way we think, and maybe paying that bill wouldn't be as important, all that kind of stuff. So I think that's one of the reasons why there's a vested interest, and not the least the religious aspect of it.
Well, I think there's a lot to what you say, and there was a report back, the Brookings Institute study that concluded sort of the same thing, that there would be potentially social disruptions if you announced this all of a sudden. Mark and Chuck, do you guys get resistance from groups and interference with investigations because of religious beliefs?
I'll let Mark go on that one.
I don't know about interference, but cooperation can be a situation. And it's not something, as far as Mark Easter is concerned, if I'm doing an investigation, I don't force this issue on anybody. If somebody has beliefs and religious beliefs, then they're entitled to that. So it's not people can clash heads constantly about thoughts over different issues, but it's not something that Mark forces on people. I mean, I was born back in Oklahoma, so my relatives are back in the Bible Belt, and some of them, once they realized that Mark was involved with MUFON, they said, "Well, it's the devil." I mean, people have their beliefs. If you grow up with a specific belief, and if it's a religious belief, it's part of your nature and your culture as you grow up. It's not something that you can fight against. And religion can help people, but it can be a detriment to others. I mean, it's people need something to believe in, to focus on, to be able to go about their daily lives. It's amazing how that is, but it's just a matter of people need something to focus on.
Well, and as you know, a lot of people, critics, would say that the UFO true believers are involved in this because it's a substitute for religion. You know, I hear the perception come up about religion as being at odds with ufology. I don't see why it necessarily has to be so. Chuck?
No, and it's not. And I think even the Vatican is recognizing that.
Certainly.
That things are going on. I mean, MUFON says three things. Basically, the bottom line is they're here, life is throughout the universe, and it ought to be studied. That's MUFON's position. And as we have read in the last few weeks, the Vatican is way up here in the front looking at all of this thing. And I have to agree with Mark and the caller. Every once in a while, I run into that. And the minute I run into it and somebody talks about the religious aspect, I absolutely drop it because we just don't do that.
You know, I get it a lot as well. People write to me and say it's satanic, it's the devil. It's hard to say, no, it's not, you're wrong. It's got to be ETs or dimensional beings because we really don't know.
And we really don't know. I mean, a lot of your listeners have heard about Michio Kaku, the many worlds theory. We really, you know, you get right down to the bottom of all this. We really don't understand a whole lot.
Thanks, yeah. Terry.
Can I chime in there?
Sure.
It's something that Mark Easter is personally excited about, and that is what is happening with UFO investigations now. We are getting so much closer and immediate with information where we didn't have that before. The way I liken it is, people have seen X-Files. You've seen it. You know, so imagine Fox Mulder sitting in that basement at the FBI building, and he's surrounded by filing cabinets filled full of the X-Files, UFO reports. That's the way it used to be. With the new blood that we brought into MUFON and new talent into the new millennium, now that we have this case management system and online report form, that case management system is data mineable, and it's immediate. I think that our culture is just, it's coming to a point where it's going to change. There's just too many people. It goes back to what we were talking about, the entertainment side. There's too many people now that it's so common. The knowledge of extraterrestrials, and like my wife's a preschool teacher, and I go to her, you know, to her school to be able to see the kids that are in the class, and it's amazing that even in preschool, here's these little dolls, alien dolls that they play with. If you look at today's cartoons that are on, the kids' cartoon networks, a lot of them are ET-based, and you don't realize it the way it is, and it goes back to what people say, the conditioning thing, but I don't call it conditioning. I think that it's a matter of, it's especially now, how MUFON in particular has brought UFO investigations into this new millennium by doing it digital and using the Internet to the advantage. The key is the information that's coming to our case management system, it's all data mineable. There's going to be, I'm hoping that us talking today will inspire people to want to research the UFO phenomenon. It may be 10 years from now that they are going into this case management system and data mining and research and finding those similarities. And that's one of the most important things. This is a slow process. But there's similarities that happen in UFO cases all over the earth, and it was hard to get to that before, but it's now like it's just a snowball rolling. So I'm really excited to be a part of this, and I'm looking forward to the next 5 years. I would say I think there's going to be some substantial things that are going to happen. I truly do.
So maybe there's conditioning, given the ubiquitous nature of ETs and aliens in popular culture, but not necessarily a directed conditioning by a government or some secret agency or something, more of a natural progression.
Correct. And I do believe that we keep bringing this up, what the Vatican has done recently, positioning themselves, is something to take note of for the people who are really religious and have a firm belief. The Vatican, they're just positioning themselves. So I think everybody should be paying attention and keeping their eyes on the sky. I can't stress that enough. Just be aware.
Terry, thanks for that call. Jeff, also in California on the wild card line. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, how you guys doing? I had a incident, or I didn't. My mother did back in 1994. There's a local elementary school down the street, and it's about a quarter of a mile by a quarter of a mile. And she sees what you guys have been describing, a big triangular object. And she said it was kind of like translucent. She could see the sky above it. And before tonight, I mean, I didn't really understand what she was talking about. But now after you guys have brought that to my attention, I was kind of excited to hear you guys say that. And two other people seen it. My little brothers are with her, and they were all scared. I mean, they just wanted to drive past that thing as quick as they could. It was floating about 300 feet above the school with no noise. So, I mean, it's kind of neat to hear that a lot of other people have seen these things, because she's going to be really excited to hear that. So,
thanks, Jeff. And do we get a lot of calls to MUFON about these translucent sort of things that see through UFOs?
Yes. I've gotten quite a few over the past several years.
Yeah, it's not unusual at all, and that's something to be to take into consideration when investigating. Is that, and how that's done? Honestly, I don't know, but it's not incredibly common, but it does come up on occasion that's the way it's described. Is that it's translucent.
So maybe the value of a report like that, whereas it's just isolated witnesses, maybe multiple witnesses, they report something, you can't really investigate it, but you put it in the files, and then somebody else sees it, and it lets them know that maybe they're not alone and they're not necessarily crazy.
Exactly. A perfect example with Jeff, how just talking about it like we have done, and this is, you know, he's been carrying this since 1994, and his family, his mom, they wouldn't be the only ones. There's so many people out there that have seen something, and they don't know who to talk to. They're afraid to talk with somebody. So it can be a slow process. I mean, military people, and it's exciting to be able to see, and it's usually about a 30-year process. And there's guys out there, and you're listening right now. You're listening to us. That 30 years is up, and there's some of them that are coming forward, and you got to listen to those guys. I mean, they've been told not to talk for 30 years. You sign a document, but basically after that 30 years, you're okay to talk. And we need to really be paying attention to those guys, and men and women that have been in service for us. That if that time is up and they're willing to talk, please come forward. Stay anonymous if you have to, but we need that information to get to our case management system. So if that time is up and you feel that you've been carrying that burden for this many years and you just need to get the information out, MUFON wants that information. We're trying to compile evidence that we can take to the Congress, that we can give to the public, to the news media.
Okay, understood. Let's try to squeeze one more call in. Jeff, thanks for that call. In fact, you might want to send a note or an email to these MUFON guys, get your family together and put down some details. I'm sure they would like to have a report from you. We're going to go east of the Rockies, Paul in Atlanta. Good morning, Paul.
Wow, I didn't think I'd get to get in tonight.
Hey, Paul.
Hello?
I said, hello.
Oh. Hey, we only have a couple of minutes left, so you might want to jump right into it.
Yes, sir. I kind of want to touch on something you said about the media influence and people's stories or whatever. Because
right.
Something happened to me back in 73, and I don't recall, you know, ever hearing, you know, anything back then like you do now. But I hadn't really heard anybody talk about does MUFON really investigate abductions or possible abductions or anything like that, because that's what it pertains to. And I would really like to know, you know, how could I investigate something like that? I really don't have access to a computer or anything like that.
You probably need to talk to these guys offline, I would imagine. It sounds like you may have had an emotional and upsetting experience. And if he doesn't have a computer, how does he get a hold of you fellas? Chuck or Mark?
Chuck, do you have the hot line number?
All he has to do really is to call the MUFON hotline. He doesn't have a computer. How can he get to it?
I'll tell you what, Paul, if you would like to call me, you can look it up, KLAS TV. You can call me and I'll put you in contact with these guys. It's in the phone book in Las Vegas, 702-792-8888. Give me a call and I'll hook you up with them. Thanks for that call. We got about a minute left for each of you guys. You want to, any parting comments about the investigation?
Well, I would just like to review assets of MUFON where people can get information. And I just went to, and if he is still listening, Paul, if you're listening on the line there in Atlanta, the number to call is directly to MUFON is 888-817-2220. Again, 888-817-2220.
And when Paul does that, that call will come directly to me.
And it doesn't matter night or day, you'll wake up.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And then I will put him in touch with the state director, which can go from there.
Exactly. We are a dedicated bunch.
Yes, we
are. You guys leave interesting lives, that's for sure. Appreciate you being here on the program. I hope it was worthwhile for both of you.
Very much.
Yes,
hopefully
it was
worthwhile.
And hope you'll come back and keep us in the loop if you come up with some more interesting UFO cases. I want to say thanks also to our earlier guests, Antonio Huneas and Alejandro Rojas. Folks, I'll be back here Tuesday night. George Norrie is taking the week off and has asked me to fill in. I think Art Bell is here tomorrow night. And so I hope it's Ian tomorrow night. It's Ian tomorrow night. And then I'll be back Tuesday night to talk with Bill Scott, writer for Aviation Week, about advanced military technology, what kinds of things might be floating around at Area 51 and other advanced bases. So I hope you enjoyed tonight's conversation, and I'll be talking to you in a day or so. Thanks to our guests. Good night, everyone.